It's Wisecracking with Winter.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day that ends in Y, and it's time for Wisecracking with Winter. I bet you've missed me. I bet you have. It's been a couple of weeks. It's been a couple of strange, wacky weeks here in the great United States of yours and mine. And producer Paul Lambie, who's also here, say hi, Paul.
Hello.
You may have
everyone.
Yeah, hello.
You may out have there.
You may have wondered
in podcast land.
You may have wondered why we haven't broadcast in a couple of weeks. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because the whole George Floyd thing happened, like, I don't know, 5 minutes from my house. And I live in South Minneapolis, which is all over the news. 38th in Chicago would be, I don't know, how far is that from the funhouse, Paul? Like 25 blocks or something like that?
Well, let's see. Yeah, that's about 3 miles north and about 2 miles west. So I guess if you use the Pythagorean theorem,
of course, what
that
else
would only
we
be
use?
About 4 miles as the crow flies diagonally, but you don't have a diagonal path to get there. So I'd say it's about 5 miles from your house.
5 miles away. So I've been,
give or take, man.
I've been a little preoccupied with what's going on around here. And I'm sure you're wondering at home as you're scooping up another mouthful of fucking alphabets in your parents' basement.
Alphabets? They still make that?
I'm pretty sure they do. Or maybe they're eating Frankenberry or Count Chocula.
Oh, if I could find Frankenberry, man, that'd be great.
I have not had the time to hop on the microphone. I mean, because CNN and Fox and all the local affiliates and everybody else has been reporting about this. So I didn't feel the need to crack the mic right away. But now that it's had some time to kind of settle in, to kind of brew like it's in a big crock pot. You know, you put it on low and you throw your roast in there for the day.
Yeah.
And it comes out nice and tender and juicy. Now, I'm ready to talk about George Floyd, the protest, the riots, and everything else that's going on in the great city of Lakes, Minneapolis. Paul, you must have questions galore.
Yeah. I mean, how many protests have you been to?
I've been to 0.0.
Oh.
Fucking protests. I haven't felt the need to go down there and throw my old hat in the ring, so to speak.
Do you not believe that Black Lives Matter or what? Are you pro police brutality?
I am not pro police brutality. I am not pro Black Lives Matter. The organization.
So you don't think Black Lives Matter?
I don't think the organization fucking matters. Here's what I think.
Is it an organization? I thought it was just like a slogan.
Did you think it was like a rascally band of people that get together every time a person of color dies by the hand of a police officer? Is that what you thought?
I mean, do they have
an
office somewhere like where you can mail something to Black Lives Matter?
I don't know. I'd like to fill out a postcard today. Where's my my pen right here? I've got it. I got my postcard. Black Lives Matter address. 12345 Concerned Citizens Street. I'm not sure what state they're in. Probably New York, New York. And then whatever the zip code is. I'd like to send them a postcard that says, "Dear sirs and madams, you do not need to be in Minneapolis any longer. We get the point. We understand that George Floyd was murdered. We've had to endure rioting."
Yeah.
And fires.
Yeah.
And nonstop protests day in and day out.
Yeah.
And a very strange decision by the Minneapolis City Council today to possibly disband the entire Minneapolis Police Department.
Are you shitting me? I want to walk across the street.
And replace it with some sort of community activist organization. Paul, what do you think of that idea?
That doesn't sound right.
No? That doesn't sound good to you? Like you get your car ripped off?
No, or? I mean, it doesn't sound like real news. Minneapolis Council Majority backs dismantling police department.
Yes, that really happened today. They want no police department whatsoever. Really?
We recognize that we don't have all the answers about what a police-free future looks like.
Sure, of course. Why would
But our community does. They said, reading off a prepared statement, we're committed to engaging with every willing community member in the city of Minneapolis over the next year to identify what safety looks like for you.
What safety?
Their words delivered one day after Mayor Jacob Frey told a crowd of protesters he does not support the full abolishment of the Minneapolis Police Department set off what is likely to be a long, complicated debate about the future of the state's largest police force.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't personally, I don't really get it. I mean, maybe I'm just like I consider myself a progressive, somewhat progressive, you know, person, but.
Do you enjoy progresso
soup? I don't
really
understand how you operate without any police department.
Do you also enjoy progresso soup? Because you're that progressive.
It's a little hearty for me, to be honest, you know, but I like my soups a little weaker, a little runnier, less chunky.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the city of Minneapolis definitely needs a police department. And it's just getting so out of control. I had to sit at home for the last 2 weeks and watch part of my city burn down. Part of your old city too, Paul. Producer Paul used to reside in Minneapolis as well.
Yeah, it's kind of sad seeing some of the businesses and stuff that got destroyed needlessly, but
whorehouses.
Did you at any point, you know, see, I felt helpless because I was like a 600-mile drive away.
Sure.
But did you ever consider at some point, like, you know, getting in your whip and maybe taking like your fire extinguisher and driving down to Lake Street and seeing if you could help out?
Never crossed my mind. Never.
Really?
Never. I have no interest in driving the 5 miles over to the blasted zone to look at it. I mean,
The
blasted zone. That's what we're calling. It's like fucking Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leave. You know, it's complete pandemonium. You can't even drive your car down the 38th in Chicago. And I used to do business in that neighborhood.
Used to go to school in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, apparently you can't go to school in that neighborhood anymore because that area is like a holy site now.
Well, you can't go to school in any neighborhood right now, I think, because of the Mambo number 5 pandemic, right?
Very astute. Thank you.
But, yeah, I went to elementary school 4 blocks from the site of George Floyd's murder.
Right. And how did that affect you, knowing that you went to school near there?
How did the death affect me, or how did going to school there affect me?
Well, knowing that you went to school there. And now knowing that somebody died not too far away, how is that affecting you?
Well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have died within a half mile radius of that school.
It's not a great neighborhood.
In the past, you know, 34 years since I was a scholar there. But, I mean, it made a more of a personal connection for me. Although going to school there, I mean, I lived in your neighborhood and I was bused to that neighborhood. It's not like I really feel like I claim that territory so much, but
right. It
made it a little bit more personal for me.
Made it more real for you. At home, there's been protests all over our great United States. Was there one also in the Circle City?
Yeah, we've had a couple days with protests, and actually got out of hand last Saturday night. There were 3 people shot and killed during whatever hooliganism and whatnot broke off, you know, broke out after the peaceful protests, kind of had done their daytime thing. And then, you know, as things tend to happen in the evening hours, the small percentage of people who decide they want to do damage and break windows and loot, set things on fire.
Right. Were there a lot of George Floyd signs?
Guns also. Pardon?
Were there a lot of George Floyd signs or a bunch of redneck crackers with Confederate flags?
You know, I did not see from the media coverage any Confederate flags. It was definitely in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, and specifically George Floyd. You know, I think that people are also upset about Breonna Taylor.
Was she like, who's Breonna Taylor? Was she like a one-hit wonder from like the 90s?
Yeah.
I have to admit, I wasn't familiar with her situation myself, but, you know, when I think it was on one of the early nights when the protesting, of course, kind of started in Minneapolis, but Louisville, Kentucky was a place where there were protests going on early on as well. And I was kind of confused, you know, as to why Louisville. But Breonna Taylor lived in Louisville. She was apparently an EMT. The police got a no-knock warrant to break into her apartment in the middle of the night because they were looking for an ex-boyfriend of hers that she had apparently not been with for quite some time.
Is a no-knock warrant much like Sir Mix-a-Lot's song "Knockin' Boots"? Like, no knocking boots warrant?
Yeah.
No, it's a warrant issued by a judge that eliminates the customary procedure for the police to knock on the door and announce their presence before breaking into someone's home.
What if the people in the home are knocking boots?
Sign me up for that.
That probably makes things more uncomfortable. I would assume everybody involved.
Right. Sure.
Certainly for the occupants. But yeah, the police were actually looking for a former boyfriend of hers on some kind of drug charge. And they came to Breonna Taylor's apartment, kicked in the door in the middle of the night. Breonna Taylor and her current boyfriend were in bed asleep, apparently.
No knocking boots?
Apparently not. But as the cops came in, her boyfriend, who had a legally registered firearm, took a shot one of the cops in the leg, presumably didn't know who was breaking in, thought it was you know, somebody probably other than the police. And then the cops returned fire, lots of rounds. They shot Breonna Taylor, who was unarmed, and she dead. Because they were looking for somebody else on some kind of drug charge. And the kind of kicker to the story, if you will, is the guy that they were actually looking for was already in jail at the time that they broke into her apartment.
Was he knocking boots with somebody in his cell?
Yeah.
We don't know. I haven't heard any reports on that.
So Indiana is trying to glob on to Minneapolis's. I mean, because we got the big star, and we've got George Floyd. So now you're trying to glob on to George Floyd and talk about your Breonna Taylor that nobody's heard of.
Indianapolis has had a lot of people shot by the cops in recent years. There are folks in the community who are upset and wanting maybe a more transparent, impartial investigation into the police shooting of Drayshon Reed, which actually occurred just a few weeks ago, maybe just a few weeks before the George Floyd incident.
Were him and Breonna Taylor knocking boots?
Not that I'm aware of. But anything is possible. But he is not the man that was in Breonna Taylor's apartment the night she was murdered.
Were they ever in a music video together?
Not aware. I don't have any information on that this time.
It just seems like you're trying to steal Minneapolis's limelight. Like, we've got all the press and all the military and all the cops and all the protesters and all the looters and all the anarchists. And then, you know, nothing ever happens in the Circle City. So then you guys try to glob on with your own story. I mean, when did Breonna Taylor get shot? Like 10 years ago?
No, I believe it was in March.
March.
And again, Breonna Taylor is from Louisville, Kentucky, not Indianapolis.
Oh.
But Drajon Reed was shot by the police in, I'm going to guess that was early May.
Did Black Lives Matter bother going there, or are they just trying to concentrate on where the real news is in Minneapolis?
Bing, bang, bing.
I'm still confused about, like, Black Lives Matter, as in, like, it's a group of people who are officially Black Lives Matter.
I think it is.
I think it's whoever, like, shows up somewhere and holds up signs saying Black Lives Matter.
Oh. There's no head to the snake? It's just pandemonium?
I'm not really aware of whether there's an organization that has taken hold. But I think it's more of a movement than an organization.
Because they never seem to show up unless the cameras are there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's somebody shot dead on the south side of Chicago almost daily. Do you see any Black Lives Matter protests over there? I don't.
I'm not really sure.
Where are they for black on black crime?
So are you saying that, like,
they pick and choose is what I'm saying.
If you have to work on everything that
yes.
you want somebody to work on?
Yes.
In order to be legitimate?
That is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying right now.
Did you say something? You were going to write a letter to Black Lives Matter and
if they
ask them to take on all the issues that are most important to you?
I just don't know. They just cherry pick. Why aren't they going after black on black crime, which happens
Why aren't they going after like the people, the black people who die of cancer or diabetes?
They should. There should be protesters outside of every major hospital tomorrow morning screaming Black Lives Matter while there's people in there dying of diabetes.
Bing, bang, bing.
So do you think would it be better for you if they changed the name of the movement to Black People Shouldn't Be Murdered by the Police?
I think so. I think that
because then you wouldn't be able to say that they need to worry about other black lives.
Right.
It's a label thing for you.
Yes. They're only worried about black lives that are ended prematurely by cops. And that's it.
You're okay with that though, if they change the name? Or you want them to solve like all the other problems in the world before they worry about what the police are doing?
I think they should be all encompassing. Like all black lives across the planet. I think they should be in Nigeria.
So they should
too. Solve
all the hunger issues
yes.
across the African
yes.
continent, but they
yes.
worry about
yes.
what the police are doing.
Of course. Black Lives Matter in Ethiopia, don't they? I thought they did.
You asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that lives matter everywhere.
No, black lives
all
matter.
Black, what?
Black lives matter.
Sure, yeah.
And this organization should be everywhere black lives are ending. All the
time.
What if
the name was All Lives Matter? Would that help you at all?
No, I don't like that.
No?
Doesn't do it for me.
A lot of people seem to like that. Like that seems to be the response to Black Lives Matter.
Well, then you should head up an organization, or maybe you know somebody that could head up All Lives Matter.
No, I'm okay with Black Lives Matter.
You are. You like Black Lives Matter.
I think that Black Lives Matter.
They do, but don't.
I think that you know, there are a lot of people killed by the police in this country, and obviously they're not all black. I mean, blacks, the amount of black people proportionate to the population who are killed by the police is higher. So I understand why there's a movement and why there's a big concern, especially given the history of racism in our country.
There's been racism here?
Yeah.
Really? When?
I think it started in the 1600s.
Oh.
When the first black lives arrived.
Where were the protesters
in the bottom
then?
Of ships.
Where were they?
Part,
I don't remember reading in any history book about how the Black Lives Matter people were standing outside slave ships or at the auctions.
No, the movement is new. I think the movement started in 2013.
Yeah.
Did you put my clothes in the dryer?
Yeah, they're in the dryer.
Okay.
Big G's back.
Yeah, he's looking for some fresh skivvies.
He is. I'm handling the laundry for the big man. He had a tough time in Texas. He had some heart problems. So
yeah, I heard about that. We were all concerned.
Everybody was concerned for the big G, and I want to put everybody's mind at ease that he is in fact back in Minneapolis, back in the funhouse, and back up to his old tricks. I did an 8-minute interview with him, and I think now would be what you call a good segue to the Big G interview that you've all been waiting to hear. I mean, the guy's been gone for 6 months. So let's get to that. Here is the Big G.
Can't wait.
All right. Nobody can wait. Big G. So the Big G is back from Texas, and he's healthy, and he's been gone from the great state of Minnesota for 6 months. Dad, what's it like to be back in Minnesota?
Overwhelmed. I can't handle it. I'm too excited.
Do you even recognize the city anymore with all the protests and there's no cops anymore? There's a nationwide protest about what happened to George Floyd on 38th in Chicago, not far from the funhouse. You've seen the video. You've watched all the news. You've seen all the international protests on what's going on. What say you? What say the Big G that's resided in Minneapolis for almost 50 years now? What do you think is happening to your town?
It's going down the shitter. Without a doubt, going down the shitter. Now they want to disarm the police department. Are they crazy? The dumb bastards, are they crazy?
We don't need police in Minneapolis.
Right.
So if you got a problem, you just call your neighbor?
Yeah, call 911 and next door knock on his door. Just go over there and say, 911, come on out and help me now. Guy's going to look at you, get the fuck out of here. What could he say? What are you going to do? Call 911, go to your next door neighbor and knock on his door. How stupid is that?
If there was no more Minneapolis Police Department, would you consider going out and buying yourself a handgun?
No.
Still no?
No.
Why is that?
Because I ain't going to go out there. I ain't going to go out amongst them. Right now, I don't even go down the lake yet. I don't even want to look at the damage some idiots did with no idea what they were doing. They were paid to come and do this, and I think that's the way it is.
Yeah?
I think so.
Those aren't Minnesotans that burned down Lake Street.
No, well, they say they were, but the police disagree.
Yeah.
He said there were some from Minnesota, most definitely. But even though that they did that, it was just totally irresponsible. One thing doesn't deserve the other.
So that's question number one. Now, you wrote out the beginning of the pandemic in Texas. So what was life like in Texas compared to the upper Midwest? How did they handle the pandemic differently in Texas than they handled it up here?
I don't know what you mean. You mean the virus?
Yeah, the virus, COVID-19. How was it handled differently in Texas than in the upper Midwest?
There was no panic down there.
Really?
No panic whatsoever.
And you're pretty close to the Mexican border, too, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, no panic. You wore a mask to go into Walmart. You wore a mask after you went outside of our compound. Inside our compound, you didn't have to wear nothing. But they didn't have hardly any cases of it down there, so there was no panic down there whatsoever. Nothing like here.
By the time you left in, the end of May, was there a panic then, by the end of May?
No.
Was the Mexican border closed, though?
Yes. Well, you can go in, but you just can't get out.
Did you ever consider going in and just not coming out?
No.
Becoming a Mexican national?
No.
applying for asylum.
No. Never. No. Okay, question number three.
Question number three, and we'll do sports. The NBA is going to have an abbreviated season in Disney World in a couple of weeks where there'll be no fans. All the teams, I think there's 22 teams, staying in Disney World. They're not allowed to leave. They're going to do I think it's every team gets 8 regular season games, and then they do the playoffs.
I think y'all are playing Fantasyland and Disneyland. I think that's what they're dreaming of.
You don't think it's a good idea?
No.
Why is that?
I think they should go right to the Fantasyland and Disneyland and have a good time.
Why doesn't
it work?
I think
it's just stupid.
Why is it?
Play the goddamn game where it's supposed to be played.
How? They're doing that. They're having games in Disney World. In a stadium with no people.
Wow. No thanks.
Will you watch it, though?
No, probably not.
You won't watch one game of that? I'll watch it, because it's something to watch. Right? There's no Major League Baseball. There's no... Are you going to watch Major League?
That's the only reason they're doing it, because they're the first to do it. It's just like golf. They're going to start golf, but they ain't going to have nobody watching golf, or no fans there.
Yeah.
But that ain't no big deal. With golf players, don't give a shit anyhow. But with basketball, the basketball players erupt in the crowd, in other words.
They feed off the crowd.
Yes, yes. So they ought to just go to Fantasyland and have a good time.
Would you consider that a true NBA championship?
No.
No? It's a bullshit?
Because they're going to start the women, too.
They're going to do what?
The women are going to start playing, too.
In Disney World?
I don't know where they're playing. They might just as well. But they're going to start, too.
Yeah.
Baseball is going to start.
When is Major League Baseball going to start?
Supposed to be in 3 weeks.
When did you hear that today?
No, I just heard it. Zachary. If you want to know anything, just ask Zach.
Zachary, another Wisecrack with Winter correspondent, sports reporter. When will Major League Baseball start?
Sometime in July.
How is that going to go with no fans?
I don't have a clue.
Will you watch that?
Hell yeah.
What's the difference between watching basketball and
baseball?
Because
I like baseball better than basketball.
But there's no fans at either one.
I don't need fans. I don't need fans.
Do you think Major League Baseball is giving the players a fair deal? Are they how many games?
No, I don't think so.
How many games are they going to play?
I don't know that either.
Let's say they're playing 50 games.
I'd guess probably 50 games, 60 games.
So do you think it's fair that Major League Baseball pays them 60% of their salary for only playing 60 games?
I think they'll pay them 80% of their salary. It was their idea to give these outrageous wages to them, then pay them, for Christ's sake. Why cut their wages? It ain't their fault.
So they should get the same pay?
Well, basically, I'd say 20% less.
So 80% of their regular pay?
Yeah. And donate the rest.
To who? Minneapolis Police Department?
Yeah, there you go.
Do you think the Minneapolis Police Department's in the wrong?
No, by no means.
No?
Not the whole department. A few bad eggs in every department.
Yeah.
But this guy's been rolled up 18 times or 8 times, whatever.
The murdering cop. Yeah.
And the other two were rookies, for Christ's sake. But one that has nothing to do with the other, the destruction of Lake Street. That was totally bad.
Okay,
enough said. Say
last
goodbye.
Last question. Who are you voting for president? Will it be Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
Biden?
You got a lot of faith in Biden, or is anything better than Trump?
Anything. Barry Goldwater would be better than Trump.
All right, well, thanks.
All right.
It's good to have you home.
All right, thank you.
All right.
So that was the Big G. Did you like it?
It was G-erific.
Yes. Hey, how about Facebook? Have you gone on Facebook at all, Paul, and mixed it up a little bit with everything that's going on? COVID-19, George Floyd, nationwide protests? Have you thrown your own opinion out there into the arena?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I wouldn't say I've mixed it. I don't really do a lot of mixing up. I don't go to Facebook very often. I will say that I did go on Facebook a bit over the last week and a half or so to kind of get some firsthand accounts of the goings on up there in your town, my hometown.
Sure.
In the post George Floyd murder time. But I didn't really go on there to argue with people. I prefer to do that on Twitter.
I had a conversation with Victoria about Facebook. She has 1,252 Facebook friends.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is impressive, right?
I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, it's a lot. I mean, if you're competing to have the most Facebook friends, then it's impressive. I'm impressed by real friends, not Facebook friends.
But they are real friends.
Are they?
Yes. Her and I had this conversation.
Has she met them all in person, you think?
She has.
Really?
Yes. One day.
Did you go through this and through the list?
We did. We went through it. I don't even know how it.
All 1,252 names.
No, I just asked her. I'm like.
Oh, I thought you said you went through all the names.
Are your friends on Facebook really your friends? Because there's so many people fighting on Facebook and they'll fight with you. Like your friends in quotation marks will pick fights with you about, you know, George Floyd or COVID-19 or we got the presidential election coming up in November. You know, all your friends in quotation marks will pick fights with you.
With right? Victoria?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, they'll pick
with anybody.
With her? With anybody. So okay. I asked her, I'm like, are they really your friends? Should Facebook call that something else? Are they like Facebook followers? Are they Facebook acquaintances?
That's what they call them on the Twitter. They're followers.
Well, right. I've got 10,000 followers on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, they're not my friends.
That's impressive.
Thank you. They're not my friends. They're followers. And on, you know, Facebook, it's fucking followers.
How many Facebook friends do you have?
420 something.
Now, is that you, or do you have a Wisecracking Facebook account?
That's me. Michael Winter has 420 some odd friends.
Are you proud of yourself? Are you like impressed?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
That's good. I don't think like the number of your Facebook friends should be the marker of whether you're satisfied with your life.
That's not the benchmark of a successful life, how many friends you have on Facebook?
I don't think so, but that's just me. I mean, if it makes other people happy, I guess so be it, right?
Right. Are they your friends?
Okay, but well, I don't even know how many I have, and I bet I have way less than 400 than whatever you have.
Well, let's say you've got 200 Facebook friends. Would you consider them all your friends?
Well, yeah, I see. I think that I would consider almost all of them probably my friends because I'm kind of picky on like who I accept as a friend.
Right.
Because I've got people who have like requested me as a friend and they've probably been sitting there in like, will you accept me mode? Not that they really care, but, you know, for years. And I don't look at Facebook that much, but once in a while I'll look at the people that have requested me and I'll be like, yeah, I don't really know you. I know you're a friend of a friend. Like, I don't really know if I want to bring you into my place where sometimes I post pictures and I don't do much on Facebook, like I said, but still. And then you get like the suggestions from Facebook, you know.
Right.
Of people. And it's like, I'm not going to click on them and ask to be friends. I mean, unless it's somebody where I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that person. Like, yeah, I'll, you know, connect with them.
So you consider all these people your friends. Did you wish all these friends a happy birthday?
No, definitely not.
Because you don't wish your friends happy birthday or because these are your friends?
Not on Facebook. I mean, no, my close friends, yeah. I would probably wish them a happy birthday somewhere other than Facebook.
So you separate your friends. You got close friends and then Facebook friends and then real life friends.
Yes.
So if you got into a fight with somebody on so if you got in a fight with somebody on Facebook that's your friend in quotation marks, and then they defriended you on Facebook, did they defriend you in real life too?
I don't know. I don't know if I've had that happen.
Right. Well, it's happened. It's happened to me.
I bet it has.
Right.
Because you're a little more controversial than the average bear.
Well, I like to be.
At times.
I do like to be. Yeah, I like to challenge people.
I'm actually looking right now at my friend request. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, then I got to click to see all. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. I've got 26 requests. And here's the thing. Like, I can look at them. There's one or two that I don't know who the hell they are. But most of them, I know who these people are. But I don't know that, you know, they're acquaintances. They're not necessarily friends. So I'm not apt to just, like, confirm them all.
So on your birthday, did they all send you a gift like I did? Even though it was a little bit late.
No, I don't. I mean, most of these people did not. I mean, I did get a gift of, somebody gave me some beer, I think.
One of your Facebook friends?
They might be my friend on Facebook, but they're actually a real friend.
So
as opposed to an acquaintance that I know on Facebook. You know, I mean, like, some of the people that aren't really your friends are, like, maybe people you went to high school with. You kind of want to, like, stay in touch tangentially, but you're not going to, like, probably, like, direct message them or anything very often. So you wouldn't expect gifts from them, would you?
You think so, because they're your friends, right?
Also, when you get to be in your 40s, you don't really expect to get a lot of birthday gifts from many people, I don't think, do you?
Just you. And Victoria gives me a gift. And my dad will give me $5 in a card.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That and another $5 will maybe fill close to half of your gas tank these days, right?
Right. What did you think about the gift I sent you for your birthday?
I liked it. It was nice.
Did it say Producer Paul in the envelope like I asked?
It said Paul Producer, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Were you mystified for a second looking at it or what?
No. I was pretty sure it was from you since you had mentioned that something would be on its way to me a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And actually, I was just about to ask you, hey, didn't you say something was on its way to me? And then it showed up in the mail that day. And I was like, oh, here it is.
Yeah, and you opened it up like a kid on Christmas. Now, did you take it and go sit by like an evergreen tree or some kind of large tree in your backyard and pretend it was a Christmas tree? Maybe strip down to your underwear like you just woke up and then open it?
I actually just I threw it on the couch because it was middle of the day. So I threw it on the couch and I said, when I get up tomorrow, I'll open this. That'll be something to look forward to make me get out of bed.
That'll give you a reason to get out of bed. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. So there it was the next day when I got up, and of course I'd forgotten by then. So I wasn't really excited to get out of bed, but so I sauntered down the stairs and wondered how I would find meaning in that day.
Right.
And then I looked over the couch and I saw the package and then my eyes lit up and I said, oh, that's right. This day has meaning already. I'll open my special package.
And you open it up, and what was in there?
It was a T-shirt.
Oh, not just a regular, like, Hanes white T-shirt, but what
was it? No, it was a turquoise T-shirt.
Nice. Not what I ordered, but nice.
Yeah, turquoise is, you know, it can be a decent look. It doesn't go with everything, but it goes pretty good with, like, a nice tan pair of shorts.
It goes with nothing.
Unfortunately, there was no pocket over the breast. You know, usually like those nice little pockets.
Yeah.
On my t-shirts, but you know, like Bob Thorson used to have.
Sure.
Guy who grew up with pockets on his white tees.
I think he did.
I'm trying to remember now. It seems like he would have been a pocket man.
Yeah, he was a neighborhood guy that ran around in a Hanes white t-shirt.
Back I don't know in the 80s. I'd say he ran around, but he kind of he seemed to hover like within the eighth of an acre of his lot there pretty tightly.
So anyway, you pulled out your turquoise t-shirt, and what was on there?
It was a image of a video game screen, basically.
Yeah.
NBA Jam video game. It would have been like the setup screen where you select your team, and it had the team of the New York Knicks with John Starks and Patrick Ewing showing their skills, their attributes.
Right. That was always your go-to team.
Those were my guys.
So did your eyes light up with joy?
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
That's it? That's pretty cool?
Yep, that's...
That's like the most original gift you got for your birthday. What did your wife get you?
PlayStation 4.
Oh.
Well. But I mean, that's not original at all. Lots of people have those.
PlayStation. Why'd you want a PlayStation 4?
So I can play the MLB 20 game.
Really?
I mean, it's not that I said, hey, get me this. I mean, I just, my wife's brother-in-law, you know, has it, and we were over at their house, and he was showing me the game. I played a little bit with him. I was obviously, somewhat impressed with that, and so she took it upon herself to say, I'll get him the PlayStation 4 so he can play.
You know, why not an Xbox One? That's what I got. And you could have played it with me. But no, you're going to play with your brother-in-law now? That's the way it is? We've been playing video games together for like fucking 35 years. I guess I'm just Johnny-come-lately comes.
Yeah,
hey, look, I got a PlayStation 4.
You to check and see what kind of system you had.
You never called me.
No, she didn't. But
nope, I guess
maybe,
I won't be playing.
Maybe if you really cared about me, you'd go out and buy a PlayStation 4.
Why would I do that when I got an awesome Xbox One? Why would I go out and get a PlayStation when I got an Xbox One?
I don't know. Who buys an Xbox One?
I did.
Why? Why didn't you get a PlayStation 4?
Why would I go buy a PlayStation 4 when I buy nothing but Microsoft products for like the last, I don't know, 10 years? Why would I want some kind of PlayStation junk?
Do you have a Microsoft phone?
No. But Apple doesn't make a game console, so, you know.
Oh, that's a good point.
Wow.
I didn't even know that Microsoft made the Xbox.
Yes.
I thought it was made by Nintendo.
No. They have the Nintendo Switch.
I've never even heard of that. Doesn't Apple make the Wii? Who makes the... No, that's Nintendo, isn't it?
That's Nintendo, yeah. They make
I don't
that.
Know why Apple doesn't have a gaming system.
Because, yeah, I don't know. There's only room for so many gaming consoles. So you got Nintendo, you got Sony, and you got Microsoft. I went with the American company. You sided with the Japs. That's fine. I guess I know where your loyalties lie. I'm sticking with Bill Gates, good guy who's out donating money to help the poor. He's buying vaccines for, you know, countries where I'm sure Black Lives Matter is deeply entrenched and out helping the poor right now hand out the vaccines that Bill Gates so graciously bought from right here in the good old USA. But you go buy your Japanese fucking console, same people that Pearl Harbor, remember Pearl Harbor?
Well, what was that?
That's when the Japanese came and bombed all of our ships in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, the Japanese wouldn't do that.
Oh,
They're peaceful.
Yeah,
do they even have an army?
No, that's... Yeah, they did.
The Navy, Air Force?
They did. You're a Japanese sympathizer is what you are.
Apparently.
Your wife is enabling you.
Yeah.
So go buy Japanese products. That's fine.
I wish
stick
you
with
had
my
told us this.
USA
I'm sure
console.
She would have bought Xbox if you had told us this ahead of time.
I don't remember getting a phone call from your wife. Hey, Mike, I know you live in your dad's basement, so you have to play video games, more than likely. And I would have said, yes, I live in the funhouse. And she would have said, Mike, what kind of gaming console do you have? Do you have something from Japan, the Evil Empire, part of the Evil Axis? Or do you have something made in America by Bill Gates? I bet you Bill Gates put my console together himself with his own two hands.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He did. In his red, white, and blue t-shirt. That's right.
I don't know. And his union employees. Red, white, and blue t-shirt. I think he'd be more like wearing a UN t-shirt.
You know who's putting together consoles in Japan? You want to know who?
Yes.
Chinese kids.
Please tell me.
In China.
I was going to say, I don't think they probably make them in Japan, but.
Hell no. They make them in China. Another enemy of the United States. Every Microsoft console is made right here in America.
The BBC.com says Japan's Sony has signed a partnership in China to manufacture and sell its PlayStation consoles.
Yep. Go ahead and support them. Did your.
That was in 2014, though.
Did your console come with COVID-19?
I don't think so.
I bet
it did.
I think
that would have been extra, wouldn't it?
I bet the second you turn that on, the little fan in back whirs to life. It blows COVID-19 out the back.
I would have never guessed that.
Not mine.
It
you know
looks
what
like
mine
the
does?
Xbox One is built at Foxconn. You know where that is.
Iowa.
China?
No. There's no Foxconn China. There's a Foxconn Iowa down by Essex. Down in the corner. That's where they're made. By union labor.
Foxconn Iowa now, huh?
Yep. It's made by union labor in Iowa.
Xbox 360 was made in the Pearl River Delta region of southern China.
I don't have an Xbox 360. I have an Xbox One.
As of September 2014, Xbox One is being manufactured in Shanghai.
As of when?
September 2014.
I bought mine in August when it was still being made in Iowa. That's right. All right. You enjoy your Japanese game. I don't care. Hope you and your brother-in-law have fun.
You know, they were actually supposed to be, you know, if you had said Wisconsin, I'd say you're still full of shit, but they were actually supposed to be building a Foxconn facility in Wisconsin to make glass displays, I believe. And the state of Wisconsin was offering up like hundreds of millions of dollars of tax breaks to get this big Foxconn factory somewhere in the middle of Wisconsin.
Yep. Well,
but Iowa, I don't think there's a Foxconn there.
Well, you believe whatever you want. That's fine. Speaking of believing whatever you want, we got another new segment from Mr. X, our conspiracy theorist.
What?
Yes, he called me from
a
phone.
A segment? Like you actually recorded something?
Yes. Mr. X reached out to me.
Not just an off-the-record conversation?
No. He reached out to me from a phone booth in Budapest, called me at 3:30 in the morning last night. And I had the presence of mind to pull myself together and run on downstairs to the funhouse in my pajamas. I tell you that my dad bought me a set of pajamas with the feet in them. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Isn't that called like a onesie or something?
A onesie. He bought me a onesie from Texas, and it says his little cowboy over the cock.
This little cowboy what? It
says daddy's little cowboy on it.
Oh, daddy's little cowboy.
That's right. And it's got the pull-away crotch where you can pull out the crotch and pee. They're really nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice gift.
Did he buy those in Texas, though, or did he get them across the border in Mexico where everything's cheaper?
I think he bought these in Old Medico before they shut the border down, my friend.
And what would Bill Gates think of that?
I'm not concerned. You know what? Because Bill Gates is too busy making Xboxes right now to be worried about my onesie made in Mexico.
In Shanghai. I've been watching CNN.
What's going on?
There's been protest marches today in Los Angeles and New York. Looked like a lot of people filling the streets. Mitt Romney, they showed Mitt Romney actually marching with a group in Washington.
Maybe that group was actually all of his kids.
Maybe. Also, I saw that we're now in the United States up over 110,000 deaths attributed to the Mambo number 5.
Do you think that that's fake news?
No, I believe in the pandemic. I believe in the novel coronavirus, which we like to jokingly refer to as Mambo number 5.
Right.
I believe it's real. I believe it's killing a lot of people. 110,000 seems like quite a few people.
That's a lot. Do you think?
I believe it's more deadly than influenza. I believe it's probably more easily transmissible. What else is there to believe?
Do you believe that it's going to go up because of all the protests?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I mean, I would think that there'd be some spike in the number of cases in the coming weeks based on the close interaction of all the people. That's a little more than what we would have been seeing before the protests. But you never know. I mean, maybe the warmer weather is reducing transmission a bit.
But what happens this fall?
I don't know.
Do you think the wheels come off for America and we go right back into the shelter at home?
I think it's, you know, definitely possible. I'm not in the prediction game on this thing, really, because I don't want you to pull the tape out in 3 months and say, wow, can you believe what producer Paul predicted?
We do record this show on reel-to-reel tape, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know.
I will say that, you know, for anybody who's been watching the projections, you know, that you'll see in the news about how many deaths we're going to have, but they use this model from the University of Washington, and they're always saying how many deaths by August 4th. And, you know, at one point, a month or so back, they were saying, you know, we might only have 65,000 deaths in the United States. And of course, we're already at 110,000. So they've been revising that model upward, and, you know, now I don't know, they're saying like 150,000, 160,000 deaths by August 4th. I'm not sure.
You got your fingers crossed?
I think it's lower, actually. If I remember the last I saw, it was like 135,000. And if you look at the graphs that they have on the website, you know, they continually, every time you look at it, they show the number of deaths going down dramatically in the coming weeks. And getting down to like zero, essentially, by, you know, now sometime in July. And I just don't believe it, because every time when you go back, you know, to April, they were saying we would be down to almost zero deaths at the beginning of June. And we're here now, and we're still having, you know, basically 1,000 deaths a day in this country. But, you know, then in May, they were saying the deaths will be like zero by July. And now they're saying, you know, they revised it and they're saying we'll be down to almost zero deaths by August. And so I would predict, if I were predicting anything, that, you know, the death total projection will keep going up. And the downward trajectory of the number of daily deaths will not come down as sharply as the model has been predicting. Because I just don't see, you know, I think they're banking on everybody continuing all the social distancing and, you know, not going out to restaurants, not going to bars. And we know that those things are already starting to happen. And yeah.
So it's not looking good.
Well, you know, I mean, most of us will probably pull through okay, but there'll probably be, there'll be more people dying. And of course, a lot of them will be older people. And I think their lives are important as well.
Well, speaking of things that are not looking good, let's take a look at sports. The NBA is going to resume in Walt Disney World, and there's 22 teams, I believe, playing with 8 games per team, and then they're going to pick, I don't know, how many teams go to the playoffs, Paul?
16.
16 teams will move on in the playoffs, and they're all going to stay in Walt Disney World. I would imagine each team would get their own hotel, and there would be no fans. What do you think about the
housing arrangements? Other than that, they'll all be in like a so-called virtual bubble,
right? Yeah.
They won't be allowed to just like come and go. And
my dad thinks that'll be a piece of shit.
Who might argue with the G when it comes to how the NBA comes back from coronavirus.
The Big G is convinced that that will be a giant piece of shit and nobody will watch it, including himself. But there's no baseball. But then he pointed out to me that baseball is going to resume in a couple of weeks. Have you heard that? Or has he got some kind of inside scoop?
No, I mean, what I read yesterday, I mean, baseball for a few weeks, they've been looking at trying to come back and start the season on July 1st. But I think that was kind of premised on having an agreement in place or very close by June 1st. And they're certainly not there. You know, the owners, I guess, wanted to play like an 81, 82 game season. And the players have come back and said they want to play like 114 games, basically go through, have the regular season go through the month of October. I don't know what the owners are going to say on that, but the players also don't want to take a pay cut because in March, they had come to an agreement with the owners that they would get paid basically on a pro rata basis for however many games they played. So half a season worth of games, they'd get half their pay.
Which makes sense.
It does, but I'm sure at the time that they agreed to that, the assumption was that when they resumed the season, they'd be able to have fans in the stands. So, I mean, if you're not going to have any fans all season, obviously the amount of revenue coming in is going to be, I would think, considerably diminished. So I don't really think it makes sense that you're going to get paid the same amount per game when, like, probably half or more of the revenue is gone.
Do you think baseball can survive something like that? Not playing at all. Like, if the owners and the union can't come to an agreement, will Major League Baseball be able to survive a hit like that?
Oh, sure.
Or basically over greed, like in 1994 when there was no season.
Why wouldn't they be able to come back next year? I mean, we missed a World Series in 94.
Right.
Because the players had to go on strike because, you know, the owners, I guess, didn't give them what they wanted. Or did the owners lock them out? I don't remember. I
think they got locked out.
I don't think baseball's done a lockout. I think that's been like the NHL did a lockout. I don't actually remember how that happened. It's weird that they played half a season and then went on strike in the middle of the season. Like, usually don't they have a contract that runs, you know, through a full season? So
I think so. What about the NHL? What is the NHL going to do? Are they coming back at all?
Last I had heard, they were talking about the same kind of situation as the NBA, where they would have something like 22 teams coming back. And then I think they were talking about having like maybe two hub cities where they would play all the games.
But if Walt Disney World is all booked up with the basketball players, where are they going to play? Like Six Flags? Valley Fair? Are they going to pick another amusement park?
I heard that your Twin Cities were vying to be one of their hubs.
Oh, yeah, right. Seriously? We have enough going on here where we do not need every single NHL team trying to stay here right now with everything that's going on. Absolutely not. No.
Well, you know, they may have been talking about that before your Minneapolis police savagely murdered George Floyd.
Well, it wasn't the whole police department.
Oh, it was only four guys. That's right.
It was one guy with two rookie cops.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the fourth guy was. I don't know how long he was on, but
so you really want to get into that? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not exonerating those guys at all. They're all guilty. Right. They should all go to jail. But there was a report.
Well, it's an interesting question, though. I mean, what are they all guilty of? Like, I think, you know, Officer Numbnut, what's his name? We don't need to say his name. I mean,
we'll just call him Officer Woody.
I just can't remember off the top of my head. Derek Chauvin.
Derek Chauvinist?
We did mention him. Yeah, that's an interesting name. But, yeah, he's the one that kneeled on his neck. I mean, obviously he's guilty of some form of murder. You know what? I'd be surprised if he's found guilty of second-degree murder. But, you know, the third-degree or manslaughter, I think, is probably a lock. But, you know, stranger things have happened with police being on trial before. But then you've got, as you mentioned, the two rookie cops who, as I read it, they'd only been out like kind of on their own for like less than a week each.
Right. Yep. Really.
They'd probably been out with their field training officers, and now they were just put together, which is also an odd thing. They've gone through their training, and then you put these two rookies together in the same car. That's my understanding. They arrived together, and they helped hold Floyd down, I guess, at the waist and the feet or something. And one of them, now, you know, we don't know all the facts, of course, but I guess what I've read is that allegedly one of those rookie officers asked the 19-20-year veteran who was kneeling on George Floyd's neck a couple of times, should we roll him over onto his side? And I don't know if, like, Chauvin just ignored him or said no or what. But, I didn't really want to get into this, but
I think he was told to mind his own fucking business, because the Big G reported that earlier in the show.
Oh, did he?
That he
okay.
read that somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, it's tough because I mean, those guys are guilty of not doing something, but they're certainly not as guilty in my mind. And I can certainly understand if, you know, they're rookies looking at a guy with 20 years experience. You know, it would have been difficult for them to actually physically stop what was happening. I mean, you know, in hindsight, it's easy to say they should have, and maybe they should have.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. Maybe saying maybe is wrong. I mean, they should have done something, but they also probably didn't, you know, think that George Floyd was going to die.
No.
But then you have, you know, the bystanders on the sidewalk that were telling the cops that you're going to kill him. So,
well, I mean, bystanders are always on the street watching cops. Do you think cops always take the advice of Joe Bag of Donuts when they're arresting somebody?
No, they definitely don't. But, you know, when you're doing something that threatens to kill someone and somebody points out you're going to kill him, you know, then they should probably, you know, give it a little consideration.
I think, in fact, he was already dead, like 5 minutes into the 9 minutes of his neck being kneeled on. He had already.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I think he
did
had.
Did I lose you?
No, you didn't lose me. I'm right here. Can you help? Can you hear me?
I hear you now. I lost you for a minute.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Am I coming through?
I got you back. That he had died 5 minutes into the 9 minutes of his neck being kneeled on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was dead for the last 4 minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor or a medical examiner, but he was definitely unconscious. I don't know that he died at the moment, you know, that he stopped speaking out, asking for them to let him up or to stop, you know, crushing his neck. I mean, I don't know. If they had gotten off of him the moment that, or within a minute, you know, when he stopped moving, I mean, he might still be alive. I'm not sure. They could have, you know, done CPR at that point, maybe.
Yeah. A lot of people have pointed out that he wasn't the greatest person, George Floyd, and that he had several drug charges, and I've heard that bandied about a little bit in the right side of the news. On the right side over there at Fox. I don't think that really matters. It doesn't matter what he did before. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter at all. I mean, everybody deserves their day in court, right? You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like, yeah, I mean, the police can't murder somebody just because they've done something bad in the past. Not to mention which, I mean, I'm sure the police didn't know much about this guy at the time that they were kneeling on him on the ground.
I assume not, no.
But, I was going to say, then you have the fourth officer, Tu Tao, who was the one that stood there in front of the onlookers, basically, you know, telling them not to worry about it and ignoring. I kind of feel like if it were me and I were assigning blame and, you know, different degrees, obviously Chauvin would be far and away at the top. I think I would assess more blame to Tao maybe than the two rookie officers who were kind of taking orders, if you will, from Chauvin. But Tao was Chauvin's partner, and he had been on the force for a number of years. And
also his brother-in-law.
I don't know if that's true or not. I saw a report about that, and then I think when I say I saw a report, I think I saw something on Facebook, and then I saw someone else on Facebook saying, we don't even know if that's true or right. Whatever. But yeah, nonetheless, I mean, he had the experience, and he was actually, I feel like he was in a better position to have like turned around at some point, because he was right. All he was doing was basically interacting with the people on the street, on the curb, who were filming this and who were pleading with the officers to get off of him while he was saying he couldn't breathe. And so I think being detached as he was, not actually even being involved with restraining Floyd, you know, if anybody was going to hear and listen to what the people were saying and reevaluate and say, okay, wait, maybe are we doing something? Could we do this differently? It seems like it would have been him. But he seemed to just kind of ignore the actual seriousness of it.
Right. You know, who's to blame, Paul, if you can't get a good realtor in Indianapolis? Like, if you go out and you hire a realtor and this person is absolutely no good and you end up with some ramshackle, rat-infested drug den, you know who's to blame? You are. Not you, maybe. Paul. You, the consumer. Because you did not go out and hire Paul Lambie. You know Paul Lambie is over right there at Carpenter Realty, right?
I thought you were saying maybe it was my fault that I didn't go out and reach out to them. No, they need to come to me is what you're saying.
Do you need to go to Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty? You know how do you
works
find
for
him?
Me.
It works for you. It works for me. It works for literally a dozen people in Indiana that have reached out to Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty and hired them for his real estate expertise. Paul, how do they get a hold of you?
paullambie.callcarpenter.com.
That's right. paullambie@callcarpenter.com. I am wore out. It is 12 o'clock. 1 o'clock in the Circle City.
What?
It's late.
Is it? What happened?
What happened is I'm going to wrap the show up. It's been a long show.
Has it? Wow, yes. I felt like we were just getting started.
Just getting started. We just got started well over an hour ago.
Hey, guess who's on CNN right now?
I'm going to guess that it's Bozo the Clown.
It's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson.
He is literally the most exciting person ever to walk the face of the earth. Ben Carson.
I don't know what he was talking about, but it looked exciting.
It wasn't.
Hey.
It's not exciting. What?
I know this is like off topic now, but I wanted to mention when we were talking about coronavirus, they said that Spain only had one new death reported today.
Well, that's amazing. They're doing a great job in Spain.
That's some good news. And New Zealand said they have zero active cases. Zero. Can you imagine that?
I'd be more apt to believe New Zealand over Spain. Hardly anybody lives in New Zealand, just like hobbits.
And, there's like five, six million people.
5-6 million hobbits. And they all live in the Shire, right? And Peter Jackson, that fat ass director, he lives there.
I've never been in the Eastern Hemisphere. It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Not really. It's nothing to see over there. You like
I'm
boomerangs?
I'm a big Western Hemisphere guy,
kangaroos,
though.
Toilets that flush the wrong way. You got to fly all the way over there to see that?
I don't think they have kangaroos in New Zealand.
They got wallabies.
Maybe.
Wallabies. Dingoes.
We should get a guest from New Zealand. See if we can get a report on what kind of wildlife they actually have.
Yeah, why don't you line that up? Weren't you supposed to line up an aggravated rage? A citizen in Minneapolis that was very rageful to all the protesting and goings on here in the town of 10,000 Lakes. Where's that guy?
I've been working on that.
Yeah? And how's that been going?
It's in progress.
It's in progress? Is he a little hesitant to come on the air?
There's negotiations occurring.
Negotiations. You haven't even talked to him, have you?
Well, he wants to know more about the show. He wasn't even aware you had a podcast.
He's a fucking idiot. He's my friend on Facebook, right?
I don't know. Is he? Is he your friend or is he just...
I thought he was.
Is he a friend or is he a Facebook friend?
How is he not aware? Get the guy on the show. Get him on the show.
Yeah, we'll get him.
How not aware? Anyway, what did I learn? What did I learn? Oh, what did I learn? Brought to you by your good pal, Paul Amby, over at Carpenter Realty. Also, Evolve Entertainment. If you're looking for a DJ, Evolve Entertainment. You can find them on Facebook. What did I learn? I've learned that I'm sick of protests. And although I realize that they're necessary, it all started here at the ground zero of Minneapolis. And so we can be done. We started it here. It's spread across the nation and the entire world. So it's time to start picking up the pieces here and be done with protests. I've learned that the pandemic is probably going to get worse as a result of all these protests and everybody out running around. So maybe if you still feel the need to protest, for God's sakes, get out there with a mask on.
Hey, did you see the video of the cop that was spitting on the back of the guy that was handcuffed and on the ground?
No, and where can people find that, Paul? They're looking for it.
Probably any social media or YouTube.
Okay, go find cop spits on protester. What else did I learn? I've learned that the NBA moving to Disney World for a few weeks will be a very interesting experiment for sure. Big G says it's going to be a steaming pile of shit. Paul, where are you at on it? For it, against it?
I'm all for something being on, so I'll probably watch like a game or something.
Good.
Just for the novelty of it.
That's good. I've learned that Black Lives Matter is probably not headed up by anybody, and it's a bunch of people running around with signs. If you're a part of the Black Lives Matter organization, feel free to reach out to me, wisecrackingwithwinter@yahoo.com, and you tell me a little bit about your organization. And why aren't you over in these less fortunate neighborhoods every time a black-on-black crime happens? Or why aren't you over in Africa helping those people out when they're starving to death? All black lives matter, just not here in the United States. I mean, everywhere.
Where can they reach you at with their comments and questions, suggestions?
You can reach me at wisecrackingwithwinter@yahoo.com. Or
wisecrackingwithwinter@yahoo.com
if you want to send me an email. Or you can get a hold of me at GetWisecracking on Twitter. Wisecracking with Winter has a Twitter page.
At GetWisecracking.
Or you can find me
that
on...
That sounds fun.
It's hilarious. Or you can find me on Facebook. There's a Wisecracking with Winter like page. Send me a message on there if you don't like what I'm saying. Otherwise, I'm going to keep on saying whatever the fuck I want if you're not going to try to stop me. Also, hey, if you enjoy the show, and I know you do, you've been listening for years, hey, give us a review on iTunes. Give me a 5-star review or a 1-star review if you don't like it. Give me some kind of review. We need them on iTunes. So if you can spend a minute doing that today at some point, I would appreciate it. Paul, do you want to plug anything else before we get out of here?
Nope.
No? Okay, good. Well, that's it, ladies and germs. I am burned out. We're going to get back to a normal schedule here. Sorry about the 2 weeks off, but there was a lot going on here in the city, and I just wasn't in the mood to be funny. There it is.
You will be next time.
I will be next time.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening. I love all you listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. Have a great night. If you're out protesting, for God's sakes, stay safe. Wear a mask, okay? That's it. Goodbye. Say goodbye, Paul.
Goodbye, Paul.
All right.
This is the worst goddamn thing I ever did.